father, Lion Mustafa, and I kept waiting for him to say, "Luke, I am your father," but he didn't ever say that. So anyway, and for those of you who are not movie buffs, that's a reference to Star Wars. And if you're not a movie buff, you don't care anyway, so that's okay. So anyway, so this morning, we're going to see two small short clips of this movie. I wanted to show longer clips, but Scott suggested that some of you might have plans for Monday. So we're just going to do short clips this morning of this. But I do want to start with prayer before we get into The Lion King and what we have to learn from The Lion King about good and evil. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you so very much for this opportunity to be with you this morning. We ask that as we worship that you will touch our lives and our hearts and that what we do in this hour might be of you. We thank you and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Lion King. I'm done. Okay. Now, as I watched the clergy person come and anoint the baby and baptize the baby, I realized I need to wear way more makeup. Okay. I first of all want to tell you that as United Methodists, we don't go around in circles. We don't actually do the circle of life. The circle of life is a primitive concept of how life works. You're born. You're stuck in whatever place you are in life. You just deal with it. You have children. You teach them to be stuck. And then you die and this starts over again. We don't believe in that. It's a nice concept. It makes a great song. But it's not very Christian. It's absolutely not Methodist. So let me tell you how Methodists work. Oh, let me tell you this before I tell you that. Okay. This is a joke, so you're supposed to laugh when I'm done. And I'll point at you so you'll know when to laugh. Because I don't want to be embarrassed. Okay. So There's a big church, and it's up on a high hill, and so there's lots of steps to go up to the church. And there's a big wedding, and so lots of people show up at the wedding. And the first guy who's leaving the church after the wedding, he's an atheist. And he comes out, and he falls down the steps. And he gets up, and he says, "You see, I told you there was no God. Because there was a God, God would know if I fell down the steps, I would never come back to church again. Therefore, this proves there is no God." And he walks off. The second guy who comes out of the church, he's an agnostic. He falls down the steps, gets up, brushes himself off, and says, oh, there must be a God because God made me fall down the steps so I would know he was here. But if there is a God, God would know that if he made me fall down the steps, I'd be really ticked and I wouldn't want to come back again. But there must be a God because I fell down the steps, but I don't know what I think. And he walked off. Third guy comes out, falls down the steps. He's a Presbyterian. He gets up and he says, glad that's over with. Fourth guy comes out. He's a United Methodist. He falls down the steps and he says, last time I wore those shoes. We're United Methodists. We believe that we have power to control our destiny and that we make choices that affect our own lives and the lives of everyone around us. We don't live in circles. We live in what's called straight lines. We live going on towards perfection. Now, sometimes we end up going on around in circles, but that's not God's fault. Usually that's because we've made a mistake, we don't want to admit it, or mostly because, I don't know, life happens. And so, as we're talking this morning about this movie, I want to say to you that there's some really good analogies in this movie, but this is not a Christian movie. So, you know, don't get all bound up in that, okay? But we can do that, right? Okay. Because we're United Methodists. We make straight lines. We go forward. We make a future. We take the world with us. We see where God is leading, and we go that direction, not in circles. So, anyway, so the first thing I want to say to you is that some of us may not have actually seen this movie or know all about it, so I'm going to give you a really quick thumbnail sketch of what this movie is about. For those of you who don't know, and for those of you who do know, this is a good time to take a nap. Okay. Okay, so the thing is that in this movie, there's the father king, Musaba, and then there is his brother who's evil, and his name is Scar. Of course, his name's Scar because he's evil. And Scar is jealous of his brother and wants to take over the kingdom. And he has to figure out a way to kill his brother and to kill the baby cub to be able to do that. And so what is the name of that show that's on Game of Thrones? So they spend a lot of time going through the whole thing of how the evil Scar is with his henchmen who are seen as jackals through lies, half-truths, innuendos, and trickery to cause Musaba to die and blames the cub for it. And because the cub was somewhat complicit and really young and really naive, he believes that his father died was his fault. And so he's embarrassed. He's filled with guilt. He's filled with shame. He's afraid no one will ever love him again. And so he leaves and he goes and he hides out of his own country. And he hides and kind of falls into a life of kind of a bohemian lifestyle. And then it is then as he begins to come to himself that he comes back. Now, I want to say to you that evil in the world is real, by the way. And the problem is that a lot of times evil is very, very, well, I don't know, I guess the word is evil. And it's treacherous. And it tries to get us to believe things that aren't true. In fact, it lies to us. It spends a lot of time lying. And I want to read you, oh, by the way, the book of Luke, the 6th chapter of the book of Luke and the 7th chapter of the book of Luke are about how to distinguish the difference between evil and good and how evil and good balance out against one another. So if you ever want to figure out how evil and good function together and how they work against one another, book of Luke, chapter 6 and 7. Okay. And Jesus is telling a parable, and he's explaining the difference between good and evil like this. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be with children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. In other words, when we begin to look at how life works, we begin to understand that when we only take care of the ones who are like ourselves, we're not living into that which is good. That when we don't actually begin to understand where God is leading us and go in that direction, when we cause others, or when we are caused to live in fear, to live in guilt, to live in shame, the evil around us is doing that to us. Now, like Simba, the baby lion, we have some complicity in our lives around us and how evil affects our lives. But we ourselves are not evil. We are affected by evil, but we are not evil. But we can't live into the good as long as we're living into the shame, the fear, and the guilt. Does that make sense? And we really are living in circles because we continue to live in shame and fear and guilt. And as long as we're doing that, we're trapped. We're trapped. And we can't move forward. We're trapped. And we can't find good in life. We're trapped. And we cannot become what God would have us be. But the good news, and I mean that quite literally, the good news is that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, and through God's love, and through other people, and through the church, come to us and begin to say words of hope and promise to us. And that hope and promise to us is very simply this. God wants you to live in grace and in love. And in that grace and love, what happens is everything around us begins to change. Because we then begin to live into forgiveness. We begin to live into understanding. It's so cool. The book of Luke has another concept that's kind of embedded in the whole thing. You have to read the whole book and you have to sit back and think about it. But do that sometime. Read the whole book of Luke and sit back and think about it from this perspective. I don't have slides this morning, so you'll just have to let me draw on the air, okay? Okay. The book of Luke tells us that we understand the present. That's wrong. Sorry. Let me try that again. We understand the past by standing in the present. And that we understand the present by looking to the future. Let me tell you how that works. Story. There was a young man, and he was probably 12, 13 years old. And he wanted to go out and play with his friends, you know, ride bikes, play ball, whatever, you know, in this day and age, probably play a video game. And his mother said, no, your grandfather's coming for dinner tonight, and you have to be at dinner, and you have to sit there. No games at the table, no screens at the table. You have to pay attention to your grandfather. You're spending the evening with your grandfather. The kid is just really ticked. How boring can it get? How many more times can he hear about the good old days? And so, he didn't have a choice. So he sits there. And his grandfather tells him about his father. The grandfather tells him about his great-grandfather. The grandfather tells him all about a lot of things about life. And the kid sits there and listens and goes, like, my eyes are glazing over. I don't really care. And then the grandfather kissed him and left. When the young boy turns to be about 22 or 23 years old, the lessons and the ideas and the concepts that his grandfather told him that night suddenly make sense to him. He's kind of come to himself. And he looks back on that night and he understands that it was one of the most important moments of his life. He understands the past by standing in the presence and seeing how God's hand moved and loved him and took care of him in that moment. And a lot of times when we are standing in the present of what's going on here, we look at it and we feel confused and we feel abandoned and that sort of thing. But when we stand in the future and we look back on that, we see how God has loved us and helped us and blessed us and allowed the things that were happening to us and around us to become a moment of God's power and love in our lives. Wiesenthal, who was a great Jewish writer, and had been in a concentration camp and was a great Jewish lecturer, would talk about what it was like to be in the concentration camps. And people would say to him, how did you survive that? How did you have the hope? How were you able to live through that horror of the concentration camps? And he said, it was simple. He just could imagine himself standing on a great stage 15 or 20 years later, explaining what evil really looked like and how evil really affected the people around him and how he survived. And in the midst of that, he found hope. He was able to endure the present by looking to the future and defining the present by the future. Does that make sense? And I think that in a lot of ways, Simba was able to do the same thing. Through the grace, now it's not a Christian movie, so we have to stretch this a bit, but through the grace of God, he was able suddenly to look at the past and no longer have to live in guilt and shame and fear, because God's grace was with him and he was able to say, wait a minute, that's not what happened at all. Wait a minute, that's not what I meant. Wait a minute. Yes, I had some complicity in this, but I can be forgiven and I can have hope and I can live out of that power that God has given me to now have wisdom, to live into power, to live into the future. And he was able then to go back and to stand up against Scar and defeat Scar because he could see the future of what would mean for his family, what it would mean for his kingdom, to be able to live out of hope and promise and love. And we're called to do that as Christians. We're called to live into the book of Luke. We're called to live into God's promise and hope. And we're going to see another clip. You guys ready for that clip? If you're not, I can talk some more. Yep, so.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you. Simba, you are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king. Remember who you are.
No, please, don't leave me. Father!
Remember.
Don't leave me.
Remember.
I want you to catch the line that is so important. Did you catch the line that was so important? That's the whole movie. You are more than you have become. You are more than you have become. And I think that that's really important, because when we live out of guilt and shame and fear, when we live out of that which evil lies to us about, we cannot become what God would have us be, because we're afraid, because we're stuck, because we're busy going around in circles. What happens is that when we live into God's grace and we live out of God's love, what happens is that our lives become full and we become who God would have us to be. Our life potential is known. I want to read you a piece from 1 Corinthians 13. I always have to laugh when people call this the love chapter, because Paul was so ticked at the Corinthians. What he's actually doing is yelling at them, but that's a whole different sermon. Which I could do now if you want, but no. Yeah. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put end to childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then we see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will fully know even as I am fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide these, but the greatest of these is love. In other words, When we are living our lives outside of Christ, it's as if we're looking at a funny farm mirror. You ever been to a fair or to some place and they had this mirror that was all distorted, and you're looking at it and you're really, really wide? Of course, that's when I look into a normal mirror, but you're really, really wide, or sometimes you're jiggly and you're just completely distorted, right? What Paul's saying is that when we're outside Christ, we see our lives in a distortion. But when we live in grace and we live in God face to face, we see the reality of who God would have us to be. And we live in the truth of who we are. We live in the truth of who we are through grace and love and hope, which allows us to live in faith. Grace and love and hope that allows us to live in faith. And if you listen to the rest of the movie, which you won't today, unless you want to go home and watch it, I'm sure you can get it on Netflix. If you listen to the rest of it, Simba goes back and he suddenly has courage and he's able to live in truth and say, yeah, I have some complicity here, but you're the one who killed my father. And I want to live into what God wants me to be. I want to become fully who God wants me to be. And that's who we are as Christians. People who say, you know, I have made some horrendous mistakes. Some of them on purpose. Some of them by accident. And sometimes I was just complicit because I was just being stupid. Anybody else done that? Okay, don't confess. That's okay. But the point of this is that when we live in grace and love and hope, we don't have to stay in that. We don't have to continue to live in the guilt and the shame and the fear and in isolation. We can move forward into the life God would have for us. We don't have to be less than we are. We don't have to hear the words, you did not become what you could have been. What we hear is, God's grace and love has taken away the veil from our face, has taken away the distortion from our eyes, and we live into God's love. Let's pray. Dear God in heaven, thank you so very much that Jesus Christ came into the world to show us what it means to live into your love, to live out of your promise, and to live into your future. Thank you so very much for calling us to live as your people in Christ, to make straight lines into the future where we might find your power and become all that you would have us to be. all that you would have us to be in your grace, in your promise, and the amazing love of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we pray these things in his name. Amen.